Welcome to, I guess, what is known as the Internet Invasion Podcast. I just kind of riffed on that one. We had a couple of people mention a couple of names that I thought were good, so it'll likely switch two or three times. But yeah, obviously, we got Cade on here. Cade, welcome onto the podcast.
What's up? What's up? Glad to be here, brother.
Yeah,
brothers.
Yeah, brothers. Quick
welcome,
rundown
Cade.
Of Cade. Obviously we'll dive into more about him, but he's been an entrepreneur for 15 years, if I'm not mistaken. You've been in the game. So in terms of experience there, you're no stranger to kind of the hard work and determination that comes with that. If I'm not mistaken, you recently hit your first 30K month. It was last month that you hit 30K in your business?
In revenue, we hit 30K. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, your profit margins on that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
So obviously, for those of you who don't know, Cade has been somebody that I've kind of looked up to pretty a lot in like the last 6 months. Ever since I kind of started this business model, you've been somebody that was always just like a couple steps ahead. So it's always been cool to kind of model what you're doing and like the mindset and the stuff that you would post inside of obviously the communities that we're in. So yeah, it's an honor. It's a pleasure to have you on here, my friend.
Well, pleasure's all mine. Seriously, I really do appreciate you guys invite me on here. This is really cool.
Of course, man. Why don't you give us a quick 2-minute rundown of you, kind of how you got to where you are, and then kind of how you broke the internet or invaded the internet.
Yeah, so I got started with entrepreneurship when I was about 14, 15 years old. I'm 29 now. And it was an online business. So in the beginning, it was multi-level marketing. I was a part of I signed up for a company called Herbalife, and I was selling products, doing the whole thing. I know people have their different ideas on multi-level marketing, but for me at the time, it was what opened my eyes up to the amount of money that can be made in general, because I was sitting in a meeting one time and this guy got up in front of the meeting. And he was like, I made 20K a month. And my 15-year-old brain was broken by that. I was like, you can do that. So it just got me really interested in just making money in general and like the whole world out there that is of making money. And so I stuck with Herbalife multi-level marketing for many years, and also kind of started a band back in high school. I pursued the band situation for a while, and then it transformed into me leaving multi-level marketing and pursuing music full-time, which music, being an artist, is entrepreneurship. I mean, you're running the business. So I did that for over a decade as an artist and a producer and kind of all things in the music realm. I produced for a lot of really big artists. I ended up joining a band that was really, really big, like platinum record, like really crazy stuff during my time in the music industry. And then about 2 years ago, I started to hit not a rock bottom, but I started to hit this situation where I was not where I said I was going to be 10 years after high school. I hit my 10-year reunion, and the things that I thought were going to be happening with my life just didn't happen. So I had to really analyze my situation and the things I was doing in and out, day in and day out, and it didn't align with what I said I wanted, even though I tried to act like it did, but it didn't. So I had to make a lot of changes 2 years ago, and within that 2-year span from then until now, I kind of just had to make a choice. The music thing was awesome. It's my passion. I've always wanted to do music. But it had kind of hit a point to where the skill and the production and all the things that were going on, especially on tour, on the road, were too big for the amount of cash coming in and the amount of crew I needed to run everything. So it just that, and then on top of me helping other producers and being an artist and writing for other people, like there was just so much workload. And I knew that at the end of the day, what I wanted is freedom. And whether it was music that got me there or something else, I didn't really care. I just want freedom. So, yeah, online business kind of hit me, and I've been dabbling in it for the last 5 years or so, but I never really committed to anything, you know, drop shipping, SMMA, which is what I was doing before I did this. But I never really committed fully into any of it and had any results. And then I hit actual rock bottom at the beginning of this year, 2024. I remember it specifically, laying in my bed with my girlfriend, and I was just kind of like on my phone looking for jobs at an Amazon warehouse that was down the road from our house. And I was like, babe, you know, I think I'm just going to sell my car, because my car at the time was my biggest expense. I'm going to sell my car and just get a job. And I just don't think I want to do any of this anymore. It's just too much. Like I've been doing this for so long, and I don't have any results. I'm not making any money. I'm almost 30 and I'm broke. So she was like, no, I support you in whatever you do, but I don't think you should do that. And I just pushed a little bit further. And what do you know, a couple months from then, I hit my first 10K month profit as an entrepreneur. And fast forward to today, and things are going well. So that's my short story.
Dude, I love that. You obviously are in a, I would say, a unique position for kind of new digital entrepreneurs, where most of them go through the lonely chapter when they start entrepreneurship, but most of them don't have that companion. Most of them don't have a girlfriend, or if they do, it's usually somebody that doesn't support them. So I guess my question, kind of just going a little bit deeper on that, is you've been with your girlfriend for a while, if I'm not mistaken. How long has it been?
A little over 2 years.
Yeah. How has that impacted like your mindset and kind of what you're able to do? Because for most people, I think there's this mindset of having someone there slows you down. Mm. And if I'm not mistaken, you kind of have a different perspective of it.
That's a great question, actually. I had to shift my mind because I actually thought that way beforehand. I had been in and out of relationships, and they were distracting, but I think it takes finding the right girl, the one that actually supports and understands what you do and doesn't get in the way of that. She completely understands. And that's how our relationship is. I was very transparent. Now, granted, in the beginning, because we're in a little over 2 years now, and my changes started happening majorly 2 years ago. She got in the beginning and had to experience me making a complete 180, I guess. And I know that was difficult in the beginning, but nonetheless, from the get-go, I was very transparent about what I wanted out of life, what I needed out of a partner, and things of that nature. So she was all for it, and she has been very supportive along the way. So I think that's really all that it takes. If you're going to have a partner, they just need to understand where you are in life and where you want to go, and they need to support you in that, especially as a man. Like, I think that's important for a woman to support her man. If the relationship dynamic is that I'm going to be, you know, supporting you financially and all these things, like, there has to be that understanding. So you know, I would say in the past I've had previous relationships where it was absolutely god awful, terrible, and I had to leave them because they did not support what I did. And I think that left me with the mindset after all that, thinking that, yeah, I need to do this alone. But when you have a partner that supports you so well, she'll do so much for you. Like my girlfriend, she cooks. She does all the, like, every day she cooks for me. She cleans. She does all a bunch of other stuff, but she does a lot of the other tasks that she understands that I shouldn't be taking my time away from the business to be doing. So she even helps in that aspect. And it's, to be honest, she's helping me buy my time back, and I've helped her by freeing her from having to have a job. So it's just balance.
I feel like there's almost a level of accountability that comes with that. I feel like I can really only speak on myself, but the people that I've talked to, it seems like trying is the biggest thing stopping them from getting to wherever it is, like actually being able to stay disciplined and put in the effort. And from the sounds of it, it's like having a girlfriend there who's doing these things for you. Does it almost give you this frame of mind where it's like, I can't slow down because she's doing all of this for me. Like, I got to do all this for her as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, she's doing her, and she's giving it all. So I have to do me, and I have to give it my all. And on a deeper subject, that's just a part of my situation. Like when I was earlier this year, when I was hitting rock bottom and I was completely broke, I just could not generate any money. She was supporting me. Like, she was paying for everything. She didn't once complain about it, gripe about it. So she's also just put in a lot of effort to show me that she wants me to do what makes me happy. So that also, yeah, I mean, that does bring accountability where I'm like, I have to like fulfill on this, because if I don't, like, all of her effort to help me is going to be in for no reason. It's going to be in vain.
That's a really cool dynamic. I like that. So when you guys started dating, I guess before that, like, what was that process like? Like, how did you guys find each other? Because I feel like for you, you have a very unique, I guess, set of criteria that you need if you're really going to commit with someone, especially having been at this for so long and making that mindset switch of like, okay, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah. Well,
so it's like, how did that come to be?
We met because I reached out to her on Instagram. I sent her a DM. I was like, yo, what's up, shoddy? But it went from yo, what's up, shoddy to, you know, no, I'm just kidding. I was moving to LA at the time when I had messaged her. We sparked conversation, and during my time living in LA, we talked, like, we were in the talking phase, you know, we're just getting to know each other. We never met each other. And then I ended up moving back to Texas from LA, and not long after that, we scheduled a time to, like, meet in Dallas. She was living in Austin at the time. She had this thing where she was doing this work thing for, like, volleyball tournaments or something like that in Dallas. And so I met her, and we hit it off. Like, I mean, it was awesome. Because we had been talking for so long, we didn't just immediately meet when we started talking, and it was pretty natural. But as that progressed, because, like, any relationship, naturally they just progress and they progress, I was just very clear about, like, not my bound, I mean, yeah, my boundaries, but from a career standpoint, I was just very clear about my direction and what I wanted. And you just, I think you have to do that for anyone that's watching this that is clueless on how to, like, make a stable relationship when you're trying to be an entrepreneur. You just, as a man or even a woman, like, you just need to be very straight up about your intentions and what you want out of life and all those things. And as long as you're clear about it, they're either going to agree with it, they're like, okay, that's cool, I'm down, or they're going to disagree with it and like, well, that's not for me, I'm out. And it is what it is at the end of the day. So I was just very clear and transparent about what I wanted, and I'm not there yet, so bear with me, but this is where I'm going to go. It's going to take this much work, it's going to take this much sacrifice. And yeah, it just comes down to those conversations, but that's how I did it.
I wanna go deep into, like, the mindset stuff. So, like, I mean, you're an interesting guy, and we all know each other. But, like, what made you wanna have the switch, or, like, what made you switch up from, like, actually, like, pursuing something that you actually love, which is music, and, like, now going into online business? And what made you switch, like, that mindset?
That's a good question. There's a few factors with the music thing. Is, you said it, it is my passion. Like, it's been my passion since I was a child. And to be in a situation where something that is so much of your passion, the thing that all of your life, or the majority of it at least, that you have, it's a thing that you've run to when things got hard, it's the thing that you just use, it was like your passion, it's just your energy, like, it's music for me. When it becomes, when it's that, and it turns into an obligation and a thing that you start to resent, or a thing that is, like, just too overwhelming, and it makes you not want to do it anymore, makes you want to turn away from it, that starts to get scary. Now, some people might just overlook it, and I'm sure there's plenty of artists and bands, musicians, whatever, that are out there that probably have experienced that, and they just push through it. And that's cool, because I think you need to do that too to be successful as a musician. Even in business, you're going to hit a point where it's just not very passionate. You're going to have to find a way to spark that back up. But for me, it was the combination of that plus getting closer to being 30, and being broke this entire time that I've been existing, pretty much. And just all those little factors came in, and I was like, you know, I told myself I was going to be at least a little bit more well off by the time I was 28, I know, like 10 years after high school. And I think just all those factors hit me so hard that I was like, I have to do something that I know is going to make a quicker return. Because at the end of the day, you dive into my mind a little bit more, money's not everything, but money's extremely important. And this world, whether you want to believe it or not, it's a system of money. And if you're not playing the game, then the game's going to play you. So I think it was just all of that. And I knew that music doesn't return the same way that a business does, or a traditional, not a traditional, because I would say traditional is like brick and mortar, but what an online business does, or just a direct, like, to consumer, to, you know, whatever business you make, you send value, you receive a transaction. Music's not the same way. You have to keep building up, because streaming, like listening to your music, people don't buy music anymore. You have to, like, monetize through shows and stuff like that, but you can't even bring people into the door at shows if you don't have that social presence up. And it takes so much raw work in the beginning, like for years of social, like, media and stuff like that, and content with music, to even build up to where you're bringing in people at shows. So there's just not a direct return with music. It takes so much longer, which is okay. I'm all about, you know, delayed gratification, because obviously I've been in the music industry for over a decade. I was really prepared for it, but I just saw an opportunity to make more money a lot quicker in online business. So I just had to weigh out my options, determine what was more important to me. And that's what helped me make that decision.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, I would say you were in a comfortable position, because, like, music is your passion, but, like, How did you make that? How would you make that switch from like being comfortable where like you're at? I mean, even if you're not making money, even like even though it's your passion and like you're comfortable, to like working hard and like doing business and like eventually making 30K.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I was never comfortable. I was never once comfortable with music because there was so much workload. It was very uncomfortable, which is the reason that drew me away from it. I was already used to, I work a little less now because things are rolling. I need to actually correct myself and probably work some more. And I'm not like an advocate for saying that everybody's got to work 12 to 16 hour days all the time. Like that's not like sustainable. But prior to me ever making money, I was in my office or my studio grinding something to do with music 7 days a week, making no money doing it. And I was, you know, 12 hour days all the time. It was super uncomfortable. I want to be honest with you. So it was actually easier to make that transition because I was already working so many hours for no return. And it's like, okay, well, I can go do something else that's not going to return and still work 12 hours because I'm already doing it. But at least this thing that I'm going to go do is actually going to return at a time that I can determine, like I can actually see it. With music, you can't really see it. It's weird.
It's funny that you say that actually, because I think you were so far in a business model. I say business model, but I'm just meaning the music industry. You were so far on one end where the delayed gratification was so extreme. I mean, so extreme. Versus when you hopped into Oddlad Business, from the sounds of it, you knew roughly how long it was going to take you to do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And it's really funny that you say that because 100% of people that I've talked to, literally 100% of people that I've talked to said the hardest part is working, not knowing when the result is going to come. Being able to work and understand that there is delayed gratification that will come from it, but they have no idea when it's going to be.
Yeah.
From the sounds of it, you kind of had a mindset of you know how long it's going to take you. Now, I'm sure that there's more layers to that, but kind of run me through that state of mind.
Well, I think it comes down to the education side and the training. I'm a big advocate for course material. There's such a large population of people that thinks courses are a scam. It makes no sense to me because they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a university, which is a paid course, and they do it for a piece of paper rather than what a course does is it teaches you directly one skill or a set of skills that you can immediately apply to the marketplace. So, you know, Alex Hormozi talks about this. There are certain type of people that are a student, and there are certain students that will get into something that will say, I'm going to do this just to prove to you that I can't do it. And then there's the complete opposite end of that, which is the person who says, I'm going to do this because there's no way I can't do it. Like, there's just no way. Like, there's a blueprint here. These guys are killing it. I can do that. Like, there's literally other human beings doing it. I'm a human being. So why can't I do it? Like, I will literally do it. So that's always been my mindset. So it comes down to this thing right here, which a lot of people don't work on this thing right here. They just throw it off, just like their diet and stuff like that. But that's always been my mindset, man. So when I got into the program, when I got into CA, I saw the roadmap. I saw the blueprint. I saw like, hey, if you do these things, you can make this amount of money in X amount of days. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do those things and I'll make the money in X amount of days. Now, of course, you have to be slightly delusional to believe that it's going to happen exactly like that. And of course, it didn't happen perfectly that way. But still, I had the mindset of like, okay, the roadmap says I can do this in this many days, then I'm just going to do it in that many days because that's what it says I can do and I will do it. So, does that answer your question for that?
Yeah, kind of. I think it's just seeing, I feel like it's tough for you to answer because you don't know what the ladder looks like. But I know for me specifically, especially starting, I started in SMMA, obviously you and I have had that conversation, but in SMMA, like the goal with starting online business was, okay, make it to 10K a month is like that dream number for everyone, right? But I had no idea how long it would take me to get there. And even when reverse engineering goals, I had no idea how long it would take me to get there. And waking up every day, working as if I need it today, but being okay with it coming in a year was like the hardest thing to set my mind to. And for you, it seems like you walked in and you were like, hey, these outputs will get me this result in this amount of time because you just, you didn't have that other side thinking. You didn't have that other side. You were just so delusionally confident in yourself, which is, it's unreal. I guess that's what you need.
Well, it's a combination of both. Like I did have that thought in my mind that says, if this does take me a year or two or however long, I do believe in this business model. So I'm going to stick it out no matter what. But I also see that the plan says this, and I see certain people doing it that quickly. And I want to be excellent at all points in time, like with whatever I do. So yes, I will stick with this for however long it takes, but also these people are doing it this fast. The roadmap says it can be this fast. So I'm just going to do it that fast. Like that's really what it came down to. But I did have that in the back of my mind. It's a combination of both. Don't get me wrong. If I would have done all the steps and it didn't work out, I still would be here. I would still be here trying to make this thing work. Cause I do believe in this business model at the end of the day. It's the best thing to happen to business model. No matter, I don't care what anyone on the internet says, you know, geo growth, whatever they say about it, dude, I came in and I made it happen. And the business that I'm growing is a legit business. People, the customers love it. My business partner loves it. Like it's a thriving, it's great. And if I didn't learn this business model that certain people talk about, like as it's not like the best thing ever, then why does my business partner love me for coming into his business and creating one for him so much? Like, so I don't know, man. I think that, yeah, the business model is awesome. I'm trailing off here, but again, it's a combination of the two things. I did have it in the back of my mind, no matter how long it took, but I'm also just going to do it in the time that they say I can, if not faster.
You also mentioned that you have to be delusional and really just go all in, basically. But like, I've seen a ton of people that fail with either dropshipping, SMME, like e-com, and like other business models. But what made you want to be delusional? Or like, what made you like want to have that mindset, that bulletproof mindset where it's like, if someone can do it, I can do it too? What? Yeah, tell me more about that.
If I can actually add to that, like, why growth operating rather than drop shipping or SMMA that you've done before?
Good question. Okay. So to answer Justin's question first, like there's a few factors. The dudes that I saw doing it were younger, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but as an older guy, seeing like teenagers and people in their young 20s making money with something, that also tells me it's like, what kind of wisdom do they have that I don't, that I can't apply from what I've learned over the years? Like if they can do it, I have to be able to do it. Now that might not be the actual truth of it. That's the way that my mindset was. So I think whether your mindset is the actual reality or it's just my reality, that thinking process helped me actually do it. Now to answer Matt's question is why growth operating? Well, I was doing SMMA before. And when I dropped music, it was to go all in on one thing. And at that time, I had the SMMA. It wasn't doing shit, but I went all in on it. And the week that I dropped music and went all in on it, I was like, bruh, I got to do outreach all the time forever just to keep getting clients and keep doing this and keep doing that. And then just like the actual process to get to 10K a month with SMMA, you have to have all these clients, you got to manage them. And then really, you can't even fulfill on that. So you've got to hire really early, like multiple. It was just too much. Like, so when I was introduced to growth operating, it was, you know, it's one client and that's it. Like there's such a high profit margin and a high, like you can make so much money with one client. You don't have to manage all these different local business clients and all that stuff. It's bullshit. So it was just appealing. Like it was so simple. It's like, okay, I get to sign one client, work directly with just that one person, help him grow an amazing, beautifully blossomed business. And I get to have fun doing it because you're working with dudes that are kind of your age, like in your industry. Not that like that matters, but with SMMA, I was working with, you know, local business guys and they're older. And, you know, when you're getting them leads and you don't get them leads 1 month, and they complain and, you know, it's like, well, I'm going to drop, you know, it's just too much, bro. Like this just made so much sense. But I will say for those of you listening, all business models work. It just has to be the vehicle that works for you. SMMA, I could have made a ton of money with SMMA or drop shipping. I did try that once, or TikTok shop or whatever. You can literally make money with any of these vehicles, but this one just fit my personality and it just made the most sense to me. Like once I saw it, I tried it. It was like, okay, this is definitely what I want to do. And I think that's a big part of it. You got to do something that you really enjoy doing. And I didn't know I was going to enjoy growth operating because I'd never heard of it. So I didn't know I was going to enjoy it until I heard of it and then got into it. But it's just a vehicle that makes the most sense for me.
It's funny that you say that because I liked going through your Twitter and finding some stuff, but you posted this in like November, I think it was, of last year. And if I'm not mistaken, you hadn't heard of growth operating at that point. If I'm right saying that. You said online education is the future. School is obsolete and all around a scam. When you said that, did you know that there was a business model that followed that exact quote?
I didn't. I didn't at all because I hadn't even heard of growth operating until like February or something of this year. So no, I had no clue. But as I said earlier, I've always been a big advocate for courses and just getting your education that way. So that's really where that thought and that tweet stemmed from, is because I see so many people complaining about course material. You know, sometimes you get in the weeds and you're in the comments section of certain videos where people are, you know, promoting for their thing, or they're talking about their education business, whatever. And you get in the weeds and you see the negativity, and that's on every post, but I just see so much of it like scam, scam, scam. And I'm just like, bruh. So I just tweet my mind on those certain things. And I just wish that people could open their eyes, because I'm not selling my own course. I don't have anything to like sell you. Like I've spent over 10 grand on course material because it's been that valuable. And I hate that. I hate, that's a very, it's not a good word. I strongly dislike that people will just look at something and just mark it scam, or they just haven't opened their mind to, like, for lack of better words, reality. Like, all they know is what they know, and what they know is they just get up, go to school for however many years, get out, go to a job, do the thing. Yeah, people love that and they want to do that. That's great. But like, it doesn't mean that everything else is a scam. Like, what's a scam? What is a scam? I've paid for education. I've paid for course material and I've gotten results. So couldn't have been a scam, because they didn't take my money and run. Like, they taught me something and I'm making money with it. So that's where that stemmed from. And I mean, look at the education system, bro. Like, it's, everything's going online. People don't even go to the grocery store hardly anymore. I mean, yeah, they do, but like, look at the way things are going. Like, it just naturally makes sense. Even if it's traditional, like university, school, that's eventually all going to be off, or, you know, online, not offline. I think it's just going to pivot that way. That's the way that the world is moving. I think it comes from just always being, I don't think coachable is the right word, but always wanting to learn more. I guess you can say coachable from the
curious
world itself.
Rather.
Like, you can be coachable from the actual world and the experience you have in the world itself. So I think just having a knack for wanting to learn more all the time. And that could probably stem from my dad. My dad has always, even with music, like in the beginning, he was like, he's just a guitar player. But he told me when I was first starting my music journey, you should learn every instrument that you possibly can, son, because maybe one day someone might need a fill-in gig and you could fill in any spot for a band and you can make some money. Like, you should do all of it. Like, why not just keep learning and keep doing more? So I think there's a lot of childhood programming stuff that kind of led me to think that way. But I think that if you're not learning, then you're essentially, you're dying. Like, you're not, like, what are you doing? Like, you need to be learning all the time because there's so much more to learn. And it's, I know it's hard for most people to just keep learning and want to dive deeper into life because they live such, it's like smoke and mirrors everywhere. People just live in this bubble and this cycle and they don't out they don't look outside of that cycle and that bubble, so they don't even think twice about it, and that's okay. But like, I've just never been that way. I've always seen the world differently, so I just wanted to keep learning more and more, and like, what is this and why is this? And that has led me like learning more about the world. And I don't think you'll ever know everything there is to know about existence and life. But the more that you learn and try to find truth, the more it makes you act a certain way, pursue certain goals, be relentless with your pursuit of those goals. So, yeah, but to answer the question in short, I think it's just always wanting to learn more and just get, I don't want to be stagnant in what I know, and I want to learn. I don't want to be left behind in anything.
Yeah, you mentioned something. This, like, go on.
You mentioned something super interesting. So, like, finding truth, right? Mm.
Yep.
What made you want to learn more? And like, because most people have egos. Like, everyone has an ego, and some people think they might have learned enough and stuff like that. But what made you wanna learn more, be curious about everything, and what made you want to find your truth, in a sense?
Okay. I think it starts at one point and it grows. Failure is your biggest teacher in anything, and failure can be defined in many ways. And I think that there were a lot of instances as a child, my dad especially, my dad always would say, hey, look into this thing, look into that thing. Wherever he got that from, that's his journey. But to me, he would present things to me and say, hey, look into this thing. And so many times I would be like, no, like that's dumb, that's stupid, I'm not going to do that. But eventually I would come to it months later or a year later, wherever, however long, and I would look into the thing that he asked me to look into, and I'd be like, dang, there actually is something to this. And I think it took enough time of those, which I consider the failure in that process is him saying, hey, do this, and me just not doing it at all. I learned from like then finding out about the thing he told me to look into, and then realizing, oh, I failed to listen to him and actually look into the thing. I could have learned this thing a lot sooner. So it didn't happen just from one experience. I think that just happens from other people too, not just my dad, like your peers. Hey, look into this thing. No, I'm good. And then eventually it became like, hey, look into this thing. And I slowly became a very open-minded person, very, very open-minded person over an extended period of time. And that's what got me to where I think that way. And I just try to pull back from this mindset of I know everything, because no one does. And I really try to sit back and say, I don't know anything. I just want to observe it all and just try to figure out what is true. Like, I don't even necessarily want to find my truth, because my truth isn't actually true. Like, that's not the truth. I want to find the baseline reality truth. That's very hard to do, but it starts with being really open-minded. And, you know, I had a big paradigm shift actually. And it was with music. Okay. And I tell this story to people who ask me about like what kind of music I like. For the longest time growing up, I listened to a lot of things. Like, my mom listened to classic rock. My dad also listened to classic rock, country, stuff of that, like that. My dad was in various bands, and I would always go to his rehearsals, listen to that kind of music. So I liked that. And then my peers, you know, they showed me like rap and stuff like that. So I started listening to like Slim Thug and, you know, Hurricane Chris and shit. And then I started listening to, my mom had a boyfriend at the time. He was listening to like Linkin Park, Disturbed, like some heavier rock. And I was like, damn, this shit's cool too. And then I just got more versified with my music. And then there came a point in time where I started listening to metal, and I just got so heavy with my music. And I was like, this is awesome, and I just want to do this. And I started a metal band, all that stuff. And it got to the point to where any music other than metal was just lame. Like, I didn't want to listen to it. If you listen to it, you're lame. No, not for me. It's just lame. I don't care who you are. That stuff is lame. If it's not metal, not touching it. And I did this for so long. And then I came back and visited a friend who went off to college and was learning guitar. And I was really intrigued by it because there was nobody else in my class that was doing music. I come from a very small town. Like, my graduating class was 46 people. So I was the only musician pretty much. And yeah, he was playing guitar, acoustic. And I supported him. I was like, yo, this is actually sick. And he started playing Love Yourself by Justin Bieber. I was like, hey, that's dope. And he's like, you never heard that before? I was like, no. He's like, dude. And he plays the song. Doesn't show me who it is. Plays the song. And I'm like vibing with it. I was like, dude, this is a really good song. Like, I love this. Who is it? He goes, you don't want me to tell you. I was like, nah, dude, who is it? And he showed me, it was Justin Bieber. And me at the time, I was the huge, like, on the bandwagon, just following propaganda, for lack of better words, of other people being like, yeah, Justin Bieber, I don't want to say the wrong word on here, but Justin Bieber's lame, you know, don't follow him. Yeah, so I jumped on that bandwagon, and I just didn't like Justin Bieber because all the other dudes didn't like Justin Bieber. And in that moment, it literally just shifted my entire world, because I liked a song by Justin Bieber because I didn't connect it to who was actually singing it. I just listened to the song for what it was and I enjoyed it. And then once he showed that to me, I was like, dang, like, I've probably been missing out on a lot of music because I just attach it to, like, other people on a bandwagon or, you know, what other people are doing. And I don't want to do that anymore. That literally shifted my mind. And from that moment on, I started listening to pop. I started listening to R&B. I started listening to everything again. Like, I just opened my entire world up to it because I literally had a moment with myself. Like, it was very powerful. And I was like, dude, I like Justin Bieber. And so, yeah, it was a huge paradigm shift moment. And I think that was one of the bigger turns in my life where I was like, I need to be way more open-minded than I am now because I'm missing out on a lot of life by being closed-minded.
Super interesting. But you mentioned that your friends would bring you on a bandwagon and actually, like, stop you from listening to, like, some type of music that you're missing out on, right? So, like, how important or how big is influence for you? Because, like, influence is a huge thing, and, like, you can get sidetracked by what other people say and, like, what the media says and stuff like that. So, like, how important is it for you, like, from learning that?
It's very important, but I had to shift the way that I was being influenced, because I think that influence is important, but you need to be influenced by the right people, for the right opportunities, for just all the right reasons. And I've never necessarily had a problem with being influenced, because even from a young age, dude, I've never smoked a cigarette. I didn't drink until I was 18, even though literally every single person, even lower classmen, were drinking all throughout high school, even middle school, like, never drank until I was 18. It was very easy for me to not give into peer pressure and be influenced by certain things, but I was influenced in the things that I wanted to be influenced in. So I had to analyze and think over time, what is it that I actually need to be influenced in? And I need to actually go that way. And that comes down to, like, your friend group too. I've had to literally dwindle my friend group. Like, I've had to chisel at it, bro. I used to have a friend group that was over 100 people, like, huge, like, probably 200 people, like, a massive friend group that were just, like, pools of different circles that I would, like, a chameleon, dude. I would just blend in with all of them. And I think when you do that, when you don't really, like, have something, like, you're just open to everything. Like, what do you stand for? Who are you as a person? Like, who do you hang out with? Who should you associate with? I had to like, reevaluate all those things. But I knew that, like, you're going to be influenced by something no matter what. You could say you're not, but you are literally going to be influenced by something or someone at any point in time. So you just got to be aware of what you're being influenced by and make sure it's the right thing. So not just the thing that you want to be influenced by, but genuinely the right thing. What is the thing that is going to influence you to move forward in where you want to go in your life? So yeah, I think I just took over time. I just had to, like, step back and analyze it, which is the way that I do with anything now. But influence is very important, bro, because you are the sum of the five people that you hang around. I know we always hear that, super cliche, but it is very true. When I was hanging around nothing but people who played video games, smoked weed, partied, you name it, I started to do those things. It just happens. And when I start getting around people who talk about money, talk about ideas, want to move forward, I start doing those things. So I just have to be aware of what is influencing me and put myself in the situations where I'm being influenced for those things and not the other things.
You mentioned that story that kind of shifted your paradigm. What I find most impressive about that is I can look back in my life and notice those moments where I didn't pick up on that. So the impressive part for me is that you did pick up on that. And for me, I've had that paradigm shift, I'd say, probably in the last, like, year or so as well. And I know the exact moments and I know the exact stories of, like, when those paradigm shifts have happened, but for me, it's never been just one time. It's like I've caught myself multiple times doing that, and I've kind of had to like reshift it. So for you, was it like that one moment that like changed it all, or do you still find yourself hitting those moments where, okay, your paradigm reshifts and it's like it brings you back, or your paradigm reshifts and it brings you back, and like it kind of hits on multiple waves?
Yeah. It depends. I think there's multiple different legs of this, because it's like different categories. You hit paradigm shifts in a certain category of life, and then you'll hit a paradigm shift in a different category. With that other story I was telling you about, it was a paradigm shift in me being open-minded. It wasn't a paradigm shift in my influence necessarily, but it was like I had a paradigm shift in that moment about being more open-minded. And, you know, I've had other paradigm shifts of like my influence, where I was literally hit a moment where I was like, I need to change who I'm hanging around. I need to change all this. Like, that was a different paradigm shift. But also within those specific categories, I think you have multiple, because I've also had my open mind. Like, that was a big one. That was like one of the biggest ones. But even since then, I've hit times where you kind of scoot back a little bit and then you hit another paradigm. Like, oh, whoa. Okay. Like, that just changed it completely. I need to actually go a little bit further this way. I need to keep moving forward, because I'm falling back. So yeah, I mean, I have multiple paradigm shifts on many different categories or subjects of life all the time. And I think it's good. The more paradigm shifts you have throughout your life, the better, right? Because you learn so much through them.
Yeah, one thing that I've always found very impressive about kind of the way that you think, ever since the very first conversation we have, I can still remember that call. I was sitting in my living room. But the way that you think is incredibly open-minded. Have you ever read the book Principles by Ray Dalio?
No, and I need to.
It's pretty good, but I think I have it on my shelf. I'm not sure, but one of like the biggest concepts that he talks about is like having radical open-mindedness. That's like the word that he uses for it. And it's like, essentially all it's saying is having the philosophy that everything that is said is neither right or wrong, but just a perspective. And there's something that you can take from every single perspective. And I think that you kind of embody that very well, because I see how you interact to some extent with the people that are within our network, right? For example, me, I'm 21. I'm pretty young in comparison. And I know that there's a lot of people that will kind of throw age out, or not out the door, but they'll think about age a lot with the people that they're interacting with. Like, an example being, most people wouldn't set up a 3-day long retreat with a group of people where there's so many different age groups and so many different walks of life that have come together. I think Justin and I were talking about this on the last podcast, but y'all went to Austin, and I think the youngest dude there was 16, right?
Yeah.
Someone with literally half your age. And I know from the conversations that you and I have had, you've taken a lot from him as well. Like, you've learned stuff from him. And obviously, you've mentioned these paradigm shifts. How have you actually gone about, like, actively as it's happening, keeping an open mind to people that are either super different from you or walk a different path of life than you, like, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, when you have the paradigm shift, you just have to analyze, like, that's actually a really difficult question.
Yeah.
In context of like being around people that are younger than me that are doing the thing, it's like they're doing the thing and they've given me a paradigm shift. So who am I to ignore that paradigm shift and just look at their age or whatever that may be and just disregard all of it? You know, I had a paradigm shift. So that means that this is the whatever I'm getting from this moment in this situation is proven, because they've shifted my paradigm. Yeah, I mean, I think it all comes back to being super open-minded about it. I just don't attach my ego to a lot of things. I try not to. I mean, it's impossible to do it completely. We're human, but I just try not to attach my ego to it. Like, I've never once been in CA or just around younger entrepreneurs that are doing better than I am and thought, oh, like, what are they doing? Like, what, I could do this better because I'm just older. And, you know, no, bro. Like, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but you know, like for Damon, he's 16. Okay. Damon is smart. Like, I don't care if he's 16, that's fine, but he's very smart. So if he can teach me something, by all means, please do. Like, I feel like I knew certain things when I was a teenager that certain older people didn't. Maybe sometimes that was my ego thinking some of these older people are stupid, but I now know, like, some of the things that I was being told from older people when I was a teenager, they were kind of stupid. And I was like, I think about it this way. And, you know, sometimes I also looked up to older people when I was younger, and they would just treat me as if, because I'm a certain age, means I don't know anything and I can't know anything because I don't have any experience or wisdom. I think that experience and all that stuff does come into play. You do need experiences. I guess the word is less experienced than they do. So they just disregard everything. And I didn't like that as a child or as a teenager, when older people would be like, nah, sorry. So I don't want to be the person that does that to other people. Like, you've got something to teach me, by all means, I'm all ears. Please teach me, because I would love to learn. So yeah, I mean, is that answer?
Yeah, like going a layer further on that, do you also have that mindset when it's people who aren't where you want to be or aren't doing the same thing as you? Like, for example, I don't know, Alex Hormozi talks about, like, he cut out family dinners and, like, Christmases with family because those people won't help them in certain areas. But
that's a great question. And no, I do not listen to anybody that has given me advice on something they have never done themselves. That's just, I don't care who it is. It could be my mother, my best friend, my dad, grandparents who've lived however many years. They've got all the wisdom in the world, but if they don't have experience in the thing that I'm asking about or I need advice on, then I can't take their advice on it. And I don't think anybody should. It does not make, it literally is not logical to do that. Mm-hmm. Hey, teach me how to, I need help making 10K a month. Am I going to go, should I logically listen to the person who's never done it before? Ever? Like, why would you do that? Like, literally picture yourself in a situation, you were in front of two people, and your goal is to try and get advice to make $10,000 a month. This person right here has done it either once or multiple times, and this person's never done it at all. This one's a stranger. This one's someone you've known all of your life. What, like, analyze the factors here. Whose advice are you going to take and why? Like, you have to really pull back. Like, you just think about it for 4 seconds. So yeah, don't take advice from anybody that has not done the thing you're trying to get advice about. Just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I guess that's the beauty in mentorship, right? That's the beauty in, like, online education as well. It's like, why, I don't know, people always question, it's like, oh, but, like, online education, da da da, but the traditional business model said, bro. Yeah, I think just listening to that, it kind of puts into perspective why online education is the business that it is. Like, someone teaching you a specialized skill is that much more valuable, right?
You mentioned that in a lot of things in life, you had to, like, pull yourself out and look at whatever you're doing or yourself at, like, a bird's eye view, probably. And I see a lot of people struggle with that. So, like, how do you manage to, like, pull yourself out and actually just, like, look at yourself in a different perspective rather than, like, being stuck in your head and, like, yeah, just that?
Really good question. It's a really good question. I think a part of it has to do with maybe not being so reactive to things. I think just thinking and getting good at thinking helps with that. And I feel like there's a direct correlation here, because you have to pull yourself back. It's the same thing. Like, if somebody tells you something and they're trying to convey to you that it's the absolute truth, if you're reactive, you'll say, yeah, okay, awesome. And then you'll believe them, and then that's the truth. If you think about it and you're not reactive and you actually use your mind, your brain, for at least 4 seconds, then you just kind of analyze it. And you've got to ask yourself, like, is this true? Why is what this person is saying true? Why is this the reality? How do I know? They're just telling me. I think that mechanism is just not being reactive, because then that trails off into thinking about it longer and then trying to analyze the data behind whatever is being told to you and just of that reality. Yeah, so I think like the most practical way of answering it is just say, is to say not be reactive. Just think, try to not react to emotion, not react to immediately when someone says something is true and just say, yeah, it is, and believe it. Like, you have to just think more. And I'm still like, I'm not perfect. Nobody is. Like, don't get me wrong. I still have my moments where someone will tell me something. I'm like, oh yeah, that's it. And I've done no bit of thinking about it, research, whatever it is. I've not pulled myself back from it. I just like, yeah, okay. So yeah, I think you just have to be good at not being reactive.
Also, most people just like don't, maybe they don't know how to think, and like they have never gotten this habit of like thinking and like analyzing things and actually breaking down what other people say. So like, I mean, that's a really good point, but how do you think? Like, there might be like books out there that like actually teach you how to think and analyze things, but like, how did you teach yourself how to think and like analyze things?
I like this one as well, actually, because one of the things that I have seen from you since I've known you, and even looking back on your Twitter, if you can't think for yourself, are you really free?
Mm. Yeah, and the answer to that is obviously no. But don't take what I'm saying. Think about that. Think about what I just said, obviously. But, you know, I can't blame people for not being able to think properly, and whatever that may mean to you, because it does come down to the system in which we're grown up in. We're told how to think. We're told how to act. We're told how to do certain things. We don't get a say in it. We just have to do what we're told. And that leads to, over an extended period of time, of you just acting like you're acting on autopilot based on that programming that you've had for so long. Like, so I can't blame, it's hard. It is hard. But you are kind of responsible as you get older to kind of try to break that programming, break all those thought processes. You have to like start to break all that stuff down. And it starts with hearing it from somebody. Like, you have to hear it from somebody first. So maybe I'm saying it right now and there's somebody listening to this and they're like, oh, I guess I've never really thought about thinking. And so maybe I should do it. So it might take, you know, the spark, but how do you think? That's a crazy question. We think about everything all the time. I mean, you're always in thought, like at any given moment, you're thinking about something. I think you just have to, you know, you can do certain practices like meditating. Meditating helps you think because it helps you clear your mind, get rid of the noise. Yeah, okay, so here we go. I think that decluttering is a good way to help you learn how to think. So yeah, meditating, you know, even down to like cleaning your environment. If your environment's really dirty, like you're just, you have to learn to like get your mind in a state to where it's just, there's no noise. Like, learn how to be with your thoughts and just see what your mind does. Where's your mind going? You can't always, like, it's going to trail off. You have to learn to just control it and bring it back. I think meditation is actually a really good answer for this. Now, I don't meditate a lot. I have in the past. I need to probably do it more. But another answer could be, well, we already think. So it's like that. It's not that anyone doesn't know how to technically think, but you just need to think longer on things. That's why I said think for 4 seconds when somebody says something, at least. Just think longer. Just actually just don't take it. Don't be reactive. Don't take it for face value. You just have to like focus, like ponder on it. Like someone just said something or I just read something and just like, just be silent for 10 seconds and just try to connect the dots. Like you see the GIF, the meme where the girl's like, she's like, and there's like math problems going everywhere. Like that should be you. Every time someone says something to you or you read something, you should just be trying to connect the dots. You might not connect them in that moment or immediately or in that minute, hour, day, year. You might connect it 5 years down the road, but at least be thinking on it. So I don't know. That's a really hard question, man. I think the most practical answer I can give is to meditate more, because once you learn how to be alone in your thoughts with no noise, no distractions, you start to train your mind.
Here's one kind of going deeper. How do you know those thoughts are actually yours?
you I think we've talked about this before. I feel like we have.
Yeah, I feel like I've had this conversation with a lot of people more in, I'd say, like the last 6 to 8 months or so, because I had that paradigm shift where it was, are those actually your thoughts? Is that actually what you believe? And as soon as someone asks that question to you, if you can really internalize that, it opens up a completely different line of thinking. Like one that I can probably confidently say 90%+ of people in the world have not had. So it's kind of cool to think about, especially when you talked about programming. Programming in a sense of the system that we're raised in, the system that we grow up in. We're not taught to think, ever. There hasn't been one class in school. There hasn't been one program entered, not even like by our parents. Most of our beliefs come from our parents. They're not our own actual thoughts. They're just values that were brought on by the people that we're closest to and then adopted and evolved from that single point. And that's where our line of thinking comes from. When you backtrack enough, it's like, oh my God, it's like the cave theory, where it's, if you look at a shadow the entire time, how do you know that that's the actual world when there's this whole world behind you? If all you've seen is the shadow, how do you know that other place doesn't exist, right?
Exactly. And, you know, the programming thing is, you're going to be programmed no matter what. You just have to determine what or who you're going to be programmed by, because you at all times are being programmed. I'm being programmed by you guys right now. It's a great way. You are being programmed by me too. Like, I'm saying things, it's going into your mind. You're going to think on it a little later. Maybe you forget it, but at least in this moment, it might shift your subconscious mind later on down the road. You just have to choose how you're going to be programmed, who it's going to be by, what it's going to be by. Because it does come down to your thoughts. Like the thinking part and your programming, like the way that you think, is like the spark to anything else in life. That's, you'll see it with, you know, anyone that's successful, bro, like they'll tell you, you can see it. You don't even have to like ask them or have them tell you a story. You can see it in the way that they think. It's apparent that they think differently. So, you know, maybe it's not always like baseline truth, baseline reality. Maybe it's just programming that makes them delusional into thinking a certain way. But if that line of thinking and that line of programming serves you more than the other way of thinking, which is just fear or just whatever that is, like the negative side of programming, then choose to be programmed by the right thing, man. Because if you can be programmed by one thing that's going to for sure take you to a certain destination, that's a good destination, the destination you want to go, then do that. Like, be programmed by it. Like, you can never be free of the programming. I can walk outside and be programmed by birds. Like, they can be chirping in a certain way. Like, you're going to be programmed. Just be programmed by the right thing. But you're going to be programmed no matter what.
You mentioned that you have a choice to be programmed by somebody or something, basically. So, do you think in your life, when you made choices, would you say you regret some of them? And maybe even when you could have started like business longer and like stopped music longer, and maybe the choices you made were not right in a sense. So like, would you say you regret some choices you made, and like in down the road, like how do you make better choices?
No, I do not regret any of the choices that I've made ever. Because the reality that has brought me here are the choices that I've made. And I love my life. I love the present moment that I live in. And all the choices that I've made up until this point are what have brought me here. If I changed one little millisecond of that time, it probably would have veered off to a completely different direction. Or could have. It would have. So,
yeah.
No, I never regret. Never regret it. I'm so thankful for all the choices that I've made. Because at the end of the day, like, I'm here to live a life. Money's just one aspect of it, bro. Like, there's just so many aspects of life. I'm just here to live it. I'm going to be on my deathbed. I'm going to be really old one day, about to die. And I just want to have a really good experience. And if part of my experience was, you know, messing up, making some of the wrong choices, and that was a part of life. And I'm glad that I experienced it because I got that experience out of my belt. I experienced one extra thing that someone else may not have. But I do also think that you need to make better choices throughout life to have better outcomes. And I know what my outcome needs to be, or I want my outcome to be. And I need to make the choices that will get me there. So I do analyze the choices that I made that maybe veered me off the path, did this, did that. And I just try to learn from them. That's with anything. Like we said this at the beginning of the podcast, failure is your biggest teacher. So every time you fail, and I wouldn't even really call it failure, because I think failure is just when you quit. If you just quit something, then you have failed. Nothing else is really failure. It's just a lesson, because there's no straight shot to anything. You play a video game, like you're gonna die a couple times before you actually beat the game. You're never just gonna do it flawlessly, perfectly. You play a brand new video game. And this is a brand new video game. What we're living is a brand new video game to us. We've never lived it before. So yeah, I mean, you just have to don't regret your decisions, because they are where it's what have brought you here today, and you need those experiences, but analyze the ones that did veer you off the path and correct them based on those failures.
A little bit. Here's another quote or another tweet that you had.
Yeah.
If it scares you, it's the best thing for you.
Mm. Yes. So people like to choose the easy route all the time. The average person chooses the easiest path possible. And it doesn't really make any sense to me, because I don't think you have to be a scholar. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to understand that the only way you get good something is by doing something difficult. Look at anything that anyone has ever been good at. I don't care what it is. If you're good at writing, if your handwriting is good, you're good at like having really good handwriting. It wasn't always like the best. You probably had to because you were a child. You don't start as like really, you have to like, you know what I'm saying there? I know that I'm like.
How does that work into fear?
So into fear, you got to choose the hardest path, because if you want to do great things, you have to sculpt your character. You have to sculpt to like your skill set, and you have to do things like that. So like I said, people choose the easy route too many times, and it gets them a certain result. And that result is average. And that's fine. A lot of people like to be average. But if you don't want to be average and you want to get extraordinary results, you have to do extraordinary things. And doing extraordinary things means you have to take the hardest path, because that's what's going to build you up and create the calluses. You know, you have to do those hard things. And with fear, you know, we're all scared of something. And trust me, I was scared to pursue online business in general. Like I was scared of leaving music because I've been doing it for so long. But when you're scared of something, that means that you're about to grow. Like if you just face it head on, you're going to learn something out of that situation. So coming back around, I think that you just, when you see things that are hard, something that you're scared to do, you need to go straight for it, because that's the only thing that's going to make you grow as a person. Now, if you're not interested in growing as a person and you want to stay stagnant and do the exact same thing for the rest of your life, more power to you. Keep doing the easy thing, because it'll get you there. But if you want to have an extraordinary life and experience everything there is to experience here, then you're going to have to do hard shit. You're just going to have to. Like, you're going to have to do the things that you are scared of, because that's how you're going to get to the other side.
How do you determine what's a good fear to face versus a bad fear to face? A very blatant example of that would be, or a very extreme example of that would be rather, hey, I'm scared to jump off this bridge that lands on concrete. Like,
yeah.
Obviously that's a bad fear to chase, but.
We know like what's going to come to a certain outcome like that. Yeah. If it's something that is very obvious, if I make this choice right now, I'm going to die. Probably don't make that choice. Okay. But I think we have, as humans, our mind knows how to determine like what's actually going to kill us or lead to some kind of outcome like that as jumping off the bridge into concrete. Like, you just know, like, there's no thought in your brain, unless you're just absolutely insane, that says that I'm going to jump off this bridge and live. You know that that's going to lead to a really, really bad outcome. So yeah, I mean, I think we just know that part of it. Everything else, like, you can really determine, like, you just have to break it down. Like, if I do this online business thing, what am I going to, like, what am I at fear of losing? Time, maybe investing some money money, whatever. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to, you know, put my health in a detrimental state. Like, I just got to get over the fear of losing the money, or maybe what people think about me. And this is a really interesting point that I just said, actually. I've come down to realize that most fear that anyone has is about other people. It really usually has nothing to do with anything else other than other people. You're scared of, like, because if there was no, if think if you were the only existing person in the world, that doesn't really work, because I was going to put it in a business sense. Like, you have to do outreach and stuff like that. Well, I think of people when they're doing outreach in business, they're scared maybe of what that person is going to think of them, or they're scared of how they're going to come off to that person, or what this person and that person, like, if there was none of that involved, like, why do you care about other? They're literally just human beings. They're literally you. Like, you're just like them. You're just a human. So why do you care if someone's going to judge you, if someone's going to, whatever it is? Because also, like, if you're scared of dancing, I guarantee you, if there was no other person in the world, and you're at a dance hall and there's music playing and there's literally no one in there, you're going to dance your ass off. The only reason you're not going to is because there might be other people there, and you're scared of what they're going to say, what they're going to think, what they're going to do, like, all these things. Like, there's so much of that comes down to, like, other people. So maybe that's not base reality. Maybe that's just my reality. So I pull back from fear because I start to realize that the only thing that really I'm scared of is other people. And if I can just get past realizing that they're just people, I don't care. Like, they're just a human being. They're not better than me. They don't have any reign over me. I'm just a human. So I'm just going to do this thing. So that's the way that I kind of break it down and pull back. But again, you have to just realize, like, there's certain things that, you know, the outcome, you're going to die or something like that. Don't do those things. But you have to take risks too, man. Like, what's the point of living life just scared to do anything and living in a bubble? Like, I mean, I guess some people want to do that. That's cool. But you're just going to have to take risks and face fear head on in order to get the thing that you want.
Okay, most people just see life because maybe they are programmed this way of, like, having a stable life, right? A simple life where it's like they go to school, then they go to the job, go college, and, like, get a degree, whatever, and live that life where they are told to do it, right? Basically. So what made you want to take the risk of quitting whatever you're doing, from doing music and your passion to, like, making money doing online business, which is a whole new game that you have to play?
I think it's just seeing, there's a couple ways to answer this. And really, it kind of started beyond, like, the music thing, because that kind of the pursuit of something different than everyone else, I guess even for myself, but from everybody else, started at a young age. I've always viewed things a little bit differently and saw what, like, the rest of my people around me were doing, and just thought there's got to be another way. Like, always, I've always thought that way. But what made me, like, really pursue this thing is just, like, realizing, like I said in the beginning, like, my age, what are the experiences I want to have? Is this giving me those experiences so far? Could this thing get me those experiences faster or in a better way, in a more efficient way? That seems like the smarter path. So why don't I just take that one? Why don't I just try that instead? Yeah, that's a really difficult question, but I think it comes down to that. And I have some programming from when I was younger that makes me want to do different things to really try and get these outcomes. A part of it is you should never compare yourself, ever. And I know that you guys know this. I think the majority of people understand this, but we still do it. But as a kid, you know, I had classmates that were always going on vacations, doing really cool things that we couldn't do, like when I was growing up. Not that I came from like poverty or anything like that, but my mom, my dad, they've been divorced since I was two, but like on each side, they've always made enough just to get by, not really do anything really crazy or extraordinary. And I saw so many people doing so many cool things, and I saw what life had to offer, and I knew that it's not my parents' fault, but they couldn't offer that, and I had to miss out on those things. So it's always been a drive to like find the best possible path to get those things that I really want, and which is experiences out of life. And I just had to choose, like, what is the thing that's going to get me there? Like, I'm getting older. I don't think anyone should really like really think about their age, because it needs to happen on your time. Everyone has their own time, but that was just a thing that pushed me to do it. It's like, I am getting older. I want to have these experiences, not just quicker, but I want to be able to experience them for a longer amount of time, because we do have this end of our timeline, which is death. And, you know, we can only live a certain amount of years. And if I don't have that time to have that experience until I'm like 60, then I've got 40 years or 50 years, however old I'm going to be. I'm going to claim it's going to be over 100, because I'm going to put that into the world. But I would rather have like 80 years of those experiences and not, you know, 20 of them. So I'm just always trying to find the route and analyzing, like, what's going to get me there the fastest? How can I experience freedom? How can I do it? And that's where it brought me to understanding that music just wasn't going to cut it. It's not, I saw the trajectory. It was going to be good. I really do believe that if I would not have left music, I mean, things were already happening like right when I left. I just couldn't bear it anymore. So I just knew that this was the better vehicle.
You also, I want to say it was 2 weeks ago, last week, where we were on a call, and you mentioned this all the time, that you're still very passionate about music and that you use kind of this specific realm of online business as a stepping stone. What's long game for you? Because obviously you talk about like your passion for writing, and I can even hear it in the way that you talk and just articulate yourself. But what's that next step? Like, what's the next venture? What is your idea 5-10 years down the line of gaining those experiences? Like, what do you have envisioned for yourself there?
Yeah. Online business is a stepping stone to that freedom, essentially. My creative process, my music, I see a future of me doing things for the passion of it. That's what I see. I have a certain money goal that I want to hit. And after I hit that money goal, my plan currently, and I never say never anymore, it's a part of stepping back and really viewing things. I've said never in the past and it ended up doing things I said I would never do. But my mindset right now is that I'm going to hit a certain money goal and I'm not going to work ever again. I'm going to retire the people I want to retire, and I'm going to wake up and I'm going to create things. I'm going to do things that I'm passionate about every single day and gather new experiences. So music is a part of that, because I don't ever want to leave. I can never leave music behind. Like, it's a part of my blood. Like, I want to do it, but I don't know if online business is necessarily a stepping stone to have freedom to pursue a music career. I don't know if a music career is really what I want. I just want what I want is to do what I want to do every day. That's what I want. And I know that's a very vague answer, but my idea of a perfect life is to wake up and say, what is it that I want to do today? I determine that thought process and then I go do it. That's my idea of a perfect life. So online business is a stepping stone, and not even just a stepping stone. I think that online business will be a part of that entire process. I don't think I'll ever stop doing online business. But I do plan on bringing the music back into things. I see a personal brand. I see a really strong personal brand, with a mixture of everything that I'm interested in, which is a lot of things. I dive into a lot of things. You know, we've talked about Smash Bros. Like, you know, I'm a Luigi guy. I love playing Smash Bros.
Fucking Luigi.
Skateboarding. I've skated since I was 11 years old. Music. I play a lot of different instruments. I play guitar, bass, keys. I sing, I produce, I play drums. Like, I want to just build a brand that is to help other people find truth. But to draw in people that resonate with the things that I do and the things that I enjoy. So that's what I see, a really large personal brand. And I don't know how that really intertwines with business or online business yet, it probably will become clearer to me as years passed or a year, however long passes. But I see that, and I see the music definitely being a part of it. And I see myself just grinding until I hit that certain number of money that I know is going to set me free and my loved ones free. And then I see me backing away from working and just doing what I want to do for the rest of my life. Could change. I could get to that point and be like hungry for more, because it is a game. Business is a game. And you see it so many times with other people who said they were going to get to a certain point and then stop, and they don't. So maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about yet, and that's fine. But that's just the way that I see it right now.
Fair. If you want to dive into that personal brand thing as well, you and I have talked about personal brands for a while, right? Obviously, our vehicle to make money is taking people's personal brands. But what comes to mind when it comes to building a personal brand for you? Like, what are your steps? Because obviously, you just made an investment into a camera, like a pretty nice camera, if I'm not mistaken. And are starting that process. So short term, what does that look like for you? And then long term, what do you kind of have envisioned?
Short term, it's a creative outlet. I don't have any expectations for it. I obviously don't create music right now. I will get back to doing that as well. But for me, it's a creative outlet. I am very inspired by certain people and their content. And I want to make things. I want to put my vision into certain things. And I've made videos since I was a kid too. Like, I've always dabbled in making videos. I made stupid YouTube videos and skits and all kinds of stuff like that. So I've always had a passion for it, just creativity in general. So right now, the short term, yeah, it's just a creative outlet. I have a vision of what I want to make. And I don't want to make like super in the weeds, like teaching people go high level, like in, you know, here's the automate. You don't want to teach any of that. Although that could be good for business, but I really just want to have a creative outlet, express myself. And then long term, I see it becoming a thing where I built an audience of people who resonate with the things that I'm passionate about, because they're passionate about it too. And forming a community of those people and finding my tribe, I guess, however large that is. And I don't know. I don't really know where it looks like from a business perspective, but I really just want to build a tribe of people that resonate with what I'm passionate about. I think that's just a bigger long-term goal.
You have so much in life that you want to achieve, and you have such a long-term goal. And I know you're a creative person, so like, that's amazing. But with all that being said, what's one piece of advice you want to give to your younger self, and also entrepreneurs, maybe musicians, anyone in the world that's going to watch this podcast here? What's one piece of advice, or maybe two pieces of advice?
Okay. You have to show up every day. You have to be super consistent. I mean, that's persistent, consistent, show up every day, however you want to put it. Like, you just have to be, you can't give up. Because I know that's the most cliche thing to say, and it seems like a cop-out, but I've experienced it, and I always heard it as a thing, and it was sounded cliche and like a cop-out from other people. But when I finally started to experience those moments where I hit those pits where I was like, I gotta stop doing this. I gotta do something else. And now realizing that if I would have given in to every one of those times that I did that, I would not have struck gold. So my biggest piece of advice, man, is just, you have to keep going. Like, if I can grind for over 15 years to get to this point, then you can do it too. Like, I made hardly any money throughout the entire time, and I scrubbed, man. I had to just fit the pieces together as I went and just figure it out. But I just had a determination to just be delusional and never give up, and just told myself that literally it's all possible, bro. Like, it's, if there's people doing it, then you can do it too. So that's my first piece of advice. And the second is, this is a little more in the weeds, but you have to refine your friend group. I was so attached to my friend group, man. And I'm not saying that you need to like be aggressive and just say, screw you, you're out of my life. I've gone through those phases. I have actually done that before. It's not really good to do that in any situation. Like, just try to stray away from the negative aspect of doing anything. But you gotta refine it. You have to figure out who's gonna program you. You need to put yourself in the right position, because I can guarantee you, like, the moment that you switch your friend group from the people who do all these things that you don't really see yourself doing long term to the people who are doing the thing that you want to do long term, you'll notice an instant change. Like you'll be like, the energy that I'm around when I'm with these people, it makes me want to do more. And when you're around these people that don't want to do more, you start to realize like, oh, I'm just comfortable. And I'm saying it, but until you like put yourself in both situations, you don't really put it into like reality. You don't realize how much it affects you. So you have to refine your circle, man. I had such a big circle. Find some dudes or women and lock in, bro. Like you have to lock in with people who want to do what you want to do, because they will take you. You're competing with a bunch of people who are teamed up. Don't try to be alone either. Like refine your circle and stick with them and grow. Like just do it and be consistent.
Very great.
Yeah, I really like to add to that. Great point, but I really like the team analogy. If you're competing against teams, why do it alone?
Yeah, I mean, you're competing against teams. Like, there's literally everyone. Why try to, like, go at this by yourself and try to, like, that's literally, it's very simple. There's literally other dudes out there that are going way faster and way further because they've got a group of men or a group of girls, whatever it is, a team of people that are all bouncing ideas back and forth with each other. This one fails, the other four learn from it. This one fails, the other four learn from it. And they all just learn so much faster and move faster. Whereas you're just having to sit here and fail and then learn from it. You're like, you're so far back, bro. You're a turtle in a rabbit race. So yeah, I mean, you need to find your tribe for sure. And that's another thing, like CA has changed my life a lot because, I mean, I have been a part of other communities and stuff like that in the past, but until I actually put myself out there and try to connect with guys like you and actually form a circle. Of course, we're not physically with each other, but we have this. We have the luxury of being in a digital age where we can actually be around each other like this. Even if it's just that, man, find your tribe, because I live in a small town right now. Very, very small town. There's no one around here that does this at all. Like not a single human being in like a 60-mile radius. So I have to have my tribe online, and I have to limit the people that I spend with outside of the business. Because they will influence my mind to do the things that I don't need to be doing. So yeah, I think that locking in with your tribe and a team and moving forward, like we all bounce ideas. Me and Justin have personally gone on calls together and he's helped me with a lot of things. I don't know if I've helped him with anything, but like we've masterminded, like we've grown and it's been powerful, dude. Like having the group of guys in CA has been one of the best parts of even doing this thing. It's having that team of people that help me elevate. And helping them elevate as well, because I think that teaching something is one of the best ways to teach yourself.
I agree.
100%. Seems like we're obviously like wrapping up here, Cade. For those people that obviously hear you, like your story and like what you've said, where can people find you? Where can they connect with you?
You can find me on literally any social platform. The @ will be @ it's KVDE. So ITSKVDE. And you'll find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I don't really post there anymore. Facebook, YouTube. It's KBDE.
You'll even find your stuff on Spotify as well.
Yeah, Spotify. Apple Music. If you listen to music, I do have stuff out there. If you search for that, it's just KVDE, pronounced Cade. The V is just an A. So.
Sweet, I want to make this podcast interesting. So what's one question you want to ask the next person that comes on the podcast?
Oh, ooh, wow.
I like that, Jayla.
That's crazy. One question I want to ask the next person on this podcast.
Dude, we know who it is.
I don't have a clue who it's going to be. So, dang, you really put me on the spot here. That's crazy.
As if we had it for the last hour plus.
Okay, here, I'll give a question that's more me. I want to ask that person, whoever it may be, I want to know if they trust the government.
Ooh, I like that.
And if they say yes, I want to like know that.
Interesting. All right, well.
If they say no, I want to know why.
Sounds good. Well, we'll definitely ask that question to our next one. And obviously, we'll... I'm sure that we'll have you back on. I'm sure you're not a stranger by any means, so I'm sure that we'll have a couple of Cade appearances. We'll kind of see your evolution and see what's up. But
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll wrap this one off. And yeah, hope y'all enjoyed. Peace out.
Appreciate it, boys.
Peace.